From the heart of our nation's capital in Washington, D.C., bringing compelling interviews, insightful analysis, taking you beyond the headlines and sound bites into conversations with our nation's leaders and newsmakers, all from a biblical worldview. Sitting in for Tony is today's host, Jody Heiss.
Well, it is Tuesday, August 20th. Welcome to this edition of Washington Watch. I am Jody Heiss, the Senior Vice President here at the Family Research Council and President of FRC Action. A lot headed your way. Let me give you some of the highlights today. As you well know, the 2024 Democratic National Convention started yesterday in Chicago, and it was pretty obvious that the Democrats, they're kind of struggling. They certainly adopted their platform, but they highlighted speakers who are promoting very few policies other than abortion on demand through all 9 months in all 50 states.
She will be a fighter for us. She will fight to lower costs for hardworking families, open the doors wide for good-paying jobs, and yes, she will restore abortion rights nationwide.
Well, that was Hillary Clinton last night. Don't you just really miss hearing that voice? Yeah, right. Well, we'll get a reaction to yesterday's events here in just a few moments from Virginia Congressman Bob Good. And with the election quickly approaching, the Democrats have pushed a narrative that the efforts by President Biden and the former border czar, we'll put it that way, Vice President Kamala Harris, that somehow they brought our country's southern border illegal immigration problem under control.
I had to take executive action. The result of the executive action I took, border encounters have dropped over 50%. In fact, there are fewer border crossings today than when Donald Trump left office.
Wow. Well, it was almost midnight when President Biden was speaking, so maybe that was part of the problem. But the reality is that even a mere glance at the actual border data reveals that this administration's claims are far, far from true. Former Acting Secretary for the Department of Homeland Security, Chad Wolf, will be joining me here a little bit later in the program to explain. And then Ken Blackwell, FRC's Special Advisor for Election Integrity, will be joining me to take a closer look at the opening day of the Democratic National Convention and the Democrats' newly adopted platform. What do they tell us about the priorities of the Harris campaign and what can we expect as November approaches? So we've got a lot coming your way on this edition of Washington Watch. I want to encourage you, as always, to check out our website if you miss any portion of today's program. Or if you just like to check out a lot of great information, you can do so at TonyPerkins.com. And then before we jump into our first segment, I just want to bring to you an incredible opportunity. I just want to put in your lap, get a calendar, mark this down. I invite you to join us in Washington, D.C. on October 3rd through the 6th for the most exciting event you will attend all year. It's our annual Pray, Vote, Stand Summit. This is a national gathering of spiritually active, governance-engaged conservatives. We call them SageCons for shorts. But look, we recognize that change must flow from spiritual renewal. And we want you to go ahead and register right now. Registration is open, and I'm asking you to join us for this incredible event. We're going to be praying for our nation. We're going to be engaging in both government and culture, standing for biblical truth. You can find out more details and you can register by going to prayvotestand.org. And please keep that handy and go do it right away. All right, let's jump into today's program. As I mentioned, the Democratic National Convention got kicked off formally last night in Chicago. Well, how do we put this? The past 4 years of the Biden administration and all the failures that has encompassed this administration make it very difficult for Democrats to run on issues that are of great concern to the American people. Things like the economy, the southern border, and a host of other things. So the speakers last night ratcheted up their rhetoric on things like abortion, things like opposing Donald Trump. very little policy discussion. And joining me now with his reaction is Congressman Bob Good. He serves in a number of places in D.C., including the Budget Committee. He also is the chairman of the House Freedom Caucus. He represents the 5th Congressional District of Virginia. Congressman Good, my friend, always great to see you. Welcome back to Washington Watch.
Great to be with you again, my friend. Thanks for having me, Jody.
All right, let's just start with your general 30,000-foot view of the speeches last night at the DNC.
Well, as you already referenced it, it really is unprecedented, unheard of that you would have the former president or the current president, the outgoing president anyway, still leader of the party, not get to speak until 11:30 p.m. Eastern time to finish his speech well after midnight. I guess they were trying to hide Biden. I think you can see that Vice President Harris is trying to distance herself from his policy. She's denying all of her previous positions and making up new positions. Some of those adopted or copied from the Trump campaign. But I guess they wanted to distance themselves from the past and reminders that everyone is worse off than they were 4 years ago. Unless you're an illegal alien, those are the only ones doing better under the Biden-Harris administration. So the first thing that was very telling is the way they treated Joe Biden. They certainly didn't want him prominently displayed on the stage. And then to your point of a few moments ago, this is the party of death. This is the party that celebrates abortion. We can remember 30 years ago, the Clinton era, and while you and I are committed to protecting life from conception, but the Democrats at least some time ago believed that abortion was a bad thing that ought to be so-called safe, legal, and rare, as they used to put it. Now they're celebrating it. They're actually performing abortions on site with the abortion trailer that's outside of the arena. Their policies are extreme. Their policies are hurting the American people. Their policies are destroying our culture. When they talk about their policies, they lie about them. Or in the case of Kamala Harris, of course, she's trying to adopt new policies to try to fool the American people.
Well, it really is unbelievable. I still am in somewhat disbelief that there is that mobile trailer right there performing free abortions and vasectomies right there outside the door of the DNC convention. It's just, it really is unreal. You know, you would think watching this convention, you would get the impression that the Democrats don't even have an incumbent president. I mean, they're talking about what we're going to do on day one, all these kind of promises. Their policies have been dismal. Is it for that reason that you think that they are now just hyper-focused on priorities like abortion, because they just simply don't have anything else to talk about?
You're exactly right. They have nothing that they can run on truthfully. Now, they lie about it. They try to claim there's no inflation. We've got 40-year high inflation. The president, you were just running a piece where he's claiming that the border invasion is down. Of course, the border invasion has increased exponentially under this president. Untold millions have come across the border, particularly the criminal gotaways, the ones with the terrorist ties and trafficking drugs and children and women into the country. You've got foreign engagements that were not happening when President Trump was there, war in the Middle East, war in Ukraine, and so forth. The economy is hurting, unemployment. Inflation is crushing the American people. American energy prices are crushing the gas prices that are about double from when this president was in office. Housing costs, utility costs, grocery costs. They really have nothing they can run on. They certainly can't run on violent crime. And so that's why they want to talk about things like abortion. But it was telling that you've got the protests going outside of the arena as well. They've got three layers of security fences to try to keep the protesters outside. There's tens of thousands already. I suspect that will grow over the course of the week. I suspect it will get more violent over the course of the week. And this is the anti-Israel wing that controls the Democrat Party, such that Joe Biden couldn't even utter the word Israel during his remarks last night.
Yeah, it really is unbelievable. And the security, I'm glad you brought that up. I thought this was a party that said that fences don't work. I mean, there's no need to put a fence up on the southern border. But when it comes to their safety, yeah, we better put a fence up because they want to be safe. What about the American people? But what about our country? The hypocrisy just seems to be never ending. What are you expecting tonight? More of the same? What do you anticipate as Obama comes to the stage?
Well, the American people don't want these policies that are destroying the country. It's not about messaging. It's not about presentation. It's about the policies that are destroying the country. And I should hope and pray, we should all hope and pray that the American people have suffered sufficiently and they're appropriately connecting the suffering that they're enduring to the policies of the Biden-Harris administration, which is the third term extension of the Obama administration. And while Obama is a talented politician, he'll try to put a pretty face on it. He and Michelle both tonight, you know, they have nothing to run on. They have nothing to promote in terms of the policies, because everyone other than the illegal aliens are worse off under these policies that are destroying the country.
So I guess we really won't know this till 80 whatever days from now, but how do you think the voters are watching this? Is this moving the needle at all, do you think? Or do they come across unified? Do they come across with vision? How do you think people are watching this?
Well, I think the Trump campaign and the House and Senate campaigns on the Republican side, the conservatives certainly need to run on policy. They need to demonstrate the difference between the 4 years under President Trump and the 4 years under Joe Biden. It is concerning that particularly the young person vote that wasn't going to turn out and vote for doddering old Joe Biden, the sympathetic elderly man with a poor memory. They recognized that he was a tired relic of the past and that he was failing. But Kamala's a little more fashionable, a little more cool, if you will, a little more clever presentation if you don't listen substantively to what she says. But if you just listen to what she says and the incompetence that's on display, even today she had a few remarks to the press where apparently the word phrase of the day was return on investment. And she repeated that same word half a dozen or so times during a word salad of remarks to the press. It seemed clear that she doesn't know really what that means. She was just told that's what she should say today. So hopefully the American people will look substantively at the policies. They won't look at just the presentation of a younger presidential candidate. And they will recognize that she is the one who's totally aligned with President Biden, the harm that's been done for the policies that are destroying the country.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. Do you think that the American voters are going to buy this vagueness? It seems like Kamala Harris is deliberately vague on every issue of any substance. She's been hiding from the press. She does not want people to see what her real policies are. She does not want people to see what she really believes. She is being vague whenever she does say anything. Are the American people going to buy that vagueness as a candidate, or do you think they will demand more substance as this campaign goes forward?
I certainly hope they will demand substance. As you know, she doesn't want to debate. She won't take questions. She won't hold press conferences. She won't do substantive interviews. She doesn't have any positions on her website even. And so far, they think it's working because they think she's risen in the polls compared to where Biden was. They think she's a little more popular than she was when she was, you know, just the vice president just a few weeks ago. So they seem to think that it's working. The Biden basement strategy worked to some extent, you know, 4 years ago. But then when she has tried to put out some substance, it was basically communism. It was communism that we're going to have price controls, communism that we're going to pay people these expanded tax credits, which means essentially giving checks to people who don't pay any taxes. And then the $25,000 down payment for first-time homebuyers, which would essentially raise the cost of housing as the market would adjust to the new cash that was infused into. And it's doubling down on the very policies that are causing the massive inflation, the 40-year high inflation, the 20-year high interest
rates. Deeply concerning.
That's put housing out of reach for Americans.
We're going to have to leave it there. Thank you so much, Congressman Bob Good, my friend. Always great to see you. Thank you for coming on Washington Watch. All right, friends, right after the break, we're going to take a look into the Biden administration's deceptive border numbers. Much more coming your way on Washington Watch. Stay tuned.
Download the new Stand Firm app for Apple and Android phones today and join a wonderful community of fellow believers. We've created a special place for you to access news from a biblical perspective, read and listen to daily devotionals, pray for current events, and more. Share the Stand Firm app with your friends, family, and church members, and stand firm everywhere you go.
Hello, I'm Jody Heiss, president of FRC Action. Here in America, we thank God for the right to vote, and we can all agree on the importance of this upcoming election. Many of us want to support candidates who share our values, but we're not comfortable supporting the big national political organizations. Well, we have a solution for supporting candidates through FRC Action's Faith, Family, and Freedom Fund.
being a super PAC, it allows for unlimited individual and corporate donations, so we can endorse and fund campaigns for people who share our values. By giving to this fund, we're able to pull all of our contributions together and support and endorse like-minded candidates. That's how we move the needle. So let's be the best stewards possible and get the most out of our political contributions by uniting our efforts. For more information or to contribute, visit faithfamilyfreedomfund.org. Thank you so much, and God bless you.
All of us are born with the desire to find
spiritually active, governance engaged conservative, or if you want to find out if you are one of these sage cons yourself, join us. Go to frc.org/sagecon, SageCon, to learn more. That's SageCon, SageCon, to learn more.
Hi, I'm Georgina, an intern here at Family Research Council, and I wanted to take a moment to tell you about FRC's incredible internship program. This three-month program is both a discipleship and a development opportunity where you get to take part in truly meaningful work and help advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and our culture. This program features hands-on professional experience here in Washington, D.C., weekly biblical worldview training, tours around the district, opportunities to meet some of the country's most prominent policy experts, and more. The program also includes free housing, a meal stipend, and is available in spring, summer, and fall. If you're a young adult passionate about seeing biblical values championed in our country, as a current intern, I cannot recommend this program enough. For more information or to apply, please go to frc.org/internships. Again, that's frc.org/internships. Apply today.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Jody Heiss. Glad to have you joining us today. All right, a running theme at this week's Democratic National Convention is that President Biden and the border czar, Kamala Harris, that somehow their policies on the southern border are working. In fact, just last Friday, the Department of Homeland Security issued a press release claiming that illegal border crossings were down by 34% from June to July. And that somehow all this was the result of a proclamation from President Biden back in June. But when you look in an unbiased manner, when you look at the real data, it shows that the situation is far, far worse than the Biden administration's cherry-picked numbers would somehow suggest. Well, joining me now to help unpack this and break it down is Chad Wolf. I know of no one who is better equipped to bring us the truth on this whole situation. He is the former acting secretary of the Department of Homeland Security during the Trump administration. He's now the chairman for the Center for Homeland Security and Immigration at the America First Policy Institute. Chad, welcome back to Washington Watch. Great to see you again.
Well, thanks for having me on. Pleasure to be here.
Okay, so we have here the Biden administration somehow crowing, if you will, about the their latest border numbers. In fact, let me just hit a clip. Let me put this up and get your reaction to it. This is President Biden from last night at the convention.
I had to take executive action. The result of the executive action I took, border encounters have dropped over 50%. In fact, there are fewer border crossings today than when Donald Trump left office.
Really? Really? All right. What does the data really show?
Yeah. Well, it's not what President Biden says. It's what he doesn't say. And what he doesn't say is all the other information that I think most Americans really need to know. But let me go back. You know, under President Trump and under President Obama and President Bush and previous administrations, you would look at the number of border apprehensions, illegal aliens crossing the border, apprehended by Border Patrol, to get a pretty good understanding of what is the situation along that border. And is it high, is it low, or is it somewhere in between? That all changed with the Biden administration, because what they did is they implemented an unlawful parole program where they actually fly individuals from four different countries, over about 30,000 a month, into the country. So they never come across that border, right? But they're inadmissible aliens nevertheless. as well as a CBP One app that allows them to push illegal aliens through ports of entry. So again, they're not apprehended by Border Patrol. So in the Biden administration, you actually have to look at three different data sets to understand, to get a full grasp of the situation along that border. And what President Biden just mentioned in the clip that you showed is only one data set. And he's given you the lowest data set he has to show that somehow the numbers have decreased. But if you look at everything that's going on and all the changes that they have made, that 56,000 number that he may have mentioned is actually 170,000 for the month of July. That is an astronomically high number. The border crisis remains at a historic level along that border, despite what the president and the vice president want you to believe.
Wow. Yeah, you know, when you look at all three data points, that's a whole different story than just looking at one. And the one that he mentioned was happened to be the lowest of the three, which means we have serious, serious problems on the other data points. Like you mentioned, them flying in illegal aliens. I mean, just bypass the border altogether. Like, what kind of numbers of people are we looking at with that?
Yeah. Well, we've never had that before, right? This is a new program under the Biden administration. It's why you've never had to count it before, because it's never been in existence. And so these are individuals that are flown in from Haiti, Cuba, Venezuela, and Nicaragua, not the best countries in the world to be taking individuals in from. And they're flown in at about 30,000 a month. They're flown into the country into about 20 different airports across our country, and then, of course, released into American communities. Or the number of individuals coming in through ports of entry through that CBP One app. In July alone, it was over 47,000 of them. These are individuals that would have showed up along that border, would have been counted in those Border Patrol numbers that would have been much higher. I think the reality is here, you know, the Biden administration can look at any numbers they want, and they can cherry pick one month over the course of almost 3.5 years. But what the data shows is that after 3.5 years of the Biden-Harris administration, upwards of 9 to 10 million individuals have crossed that border illegally. And if you look at all 4 years of the Trump administration, it was around 2 million. And I think that tells you everything that you need to know.
Wow. Yeah. And I've seen numbers as high, as high as 12.5 million during the 3+ years of the Biden administration.
Yeah.
And I've also seen somewhere in the ballpark of just June, July, what we're talking about 170,000 when you add up all that you're talking about. I mean, it is so misleading, intentionally misleading to the American people to falsify what is really happening on our borders and those who are coming in, people that we know nothing about, their background. We do know that crime is going up in the country. So all people have to do is look at it. I've been on the border with you several times. It is shameful. It's frightening. I wish every single person in the country could take a trip to the border and see firsthand what is actually happening. So this is intentional deception. Is that correct?
It is. It's this game that they've played now for 3.5 years, which is trying to convince the American people that nothing's going on that border, right? For 2 years, 2.5, I would say, they refused to call it a crisis. Remember? They kept saying it's just a challenge. It's not a crisis. Well, somehow at the beginning of this year, in an election year, President Biden all of a sudden started calling it a crisis, right? Because he knew what the rest of the American people know, that it's a crisis and that he needed to start to campaign on it. And then they started taking action. So, look, this has been the mantra of this administration. Let's ignore what's going on in the border. Let's try to gaslight and convince the American people they're not seeing what they're actually seeing with their own eyes. And then at the end of that, then let's try to blame Republicans that it's somehow their fault, which is what they're doing here. And so they've had a record of not being transparent with the American people for some time.
Yeah, and they always seem to be good at deflecting and passing the blame on Republicans, and we've got to learn how to counter that. Chad, I'd love for you to stick over, if you can, for a few more moments. I've got some more questions for you on the other side of the break. So we've got a lot more coming your way on the Biden-Harris border crisis. Chad Wolf from the American First Policy Institute is joining me. He will stay over for the break. But listen, the border is an absolute train wreck. There is not a community nor a state that is no longer a border state. We are all involved in this. Chad Wolf will continue this conversation right after the break. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a moment.
America was a bright light until the culture gave into darkness. But we won't. We're in a battle for the soul of our nation, between right and wrong, between truth and lies. At a time when the mainstream media is blocking Americans from truth, millions are searching for a source of trustworthy news that shines a light in the darkness. At this time of great need, FRC is lighting the way forward. For 40 years, Family Research Council and its partners have stood together to advance and defend biblical truth in government and culture. Between our flagship broadcast program, Washington Watch, with Tony Perkins, to our news outlet, The Washington Stand, FRC is providing believers across the country with news they can trust from a biblical worldview. When you stand with FRC, you help light the way forward for America and the next generation. Go to frc.org/give.
If you're a young adult passionate about seeing biblical values championed in our country, check out Family Research Council's internship program. This three-month program is both a discipleship and development opportunity where you get to take part in truly meaningful work and help advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and our culture. Featuring hands-on experience, biblical worldview training, free housing, and more, this internship is a great opportunity for spiritual and professional development. Check out frc.org/internships to apply today.
As a congressman, Jody Heiss witnessed firsthand how the gradual erosion of congressional integrity has crippled America's faith in its most essential institutions. His newly released book, Sacred Trust, Election Integrity, and the Will of the People, sounds the alarm on the attempts of career bureaucrats to subvert our elections and provide solutions to make every vote count. Help preserve election integrity and order Sacred Trust today wherever books are sold.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Jody Heiss. Glad to have you on board with us. I'm continuing the conversation with Chad Wolf. He was the acting secretary for Department of Homeland Security during the Trump administration. He's now chairman for the Center of Homeland Security and Immigration at the America First Policy Institute. Chad, thanks so much for sticking around. Really appreciate it.
Happy to do it.
All right, so let's discuss now, if we can, the Harris campaign's position on border security and immigration. Some of those things were just revealed yesterday. So let's walk through what she's hoping to do in a Harris-Walz administration. What are some of the highlights?
It's really interesting because obviously Vice President Harris hasn't really talked much since assuming, the nominee, at least unofficially. And so this is really the first time. And so this is the platform on immigration, part of the platform that they rolled out there in Chicago this week. And so you get a sense of what 4 years under Kamala Harris would look like. And throughout that platform, they talk about a bill and they talk about legislation that they're very proud of and that they support. It's called the U.S. Citizenship Act of 2021. And so as we unravel and actually look at what's in that bill, it is very radical. It's so radical that that bill did not even get a vote in Congress when controlled by Democrats, all three branches. It was so radical they couldn't even vote on it. But yet that is what Kamala Harris is saying is her policy is along that border. So what does that mean? Well, it means a path to citizenship for almost the entire illegal alien population in the U.S. It's probably over 15 million individuals. And that includes individuals that were removed or deported under President Trump. They would actually bring them back into the country at taxpayer expense. Why and for what reason they don't say, you can only imagine. And that's just a couple of different things that this bill does that is so far out of the mainstream that, again, even Democrats, for the most part, wouldn't vote on it.
What about some of those who have committed crimes here, those who are here now who have felony records? Are they safe or will they be deported?
Well, under this bill, should it get passed and what she's advocating for, she makes it more difficult, almost impossible to remove individuals that have a felony. So these are illegal aliens that have a felony. It makes it very difficult to remove. They actually say in the bill it has to be an aggravated felony. So it's not enough that you maybe committed burglary. you've got to do it with a weapon, right? It's got to be an aggravated crime of some sort. It's just crazy. It also reduces or eliminates the bars, what we call bars to reentry. So if an illegal alien gets caught and removed, they're prohibited from coming back into the country for 3 or 10 years. It removes that completely. There is no consequence to their illegal behavior. It allows them to come right back in almost immediately.
Wow. So what about things like, say, Social Security numbers, those yeah. type of things? What happens on that front?
Well, it directs the commissioner of the Social Security Administration to issue every illegal alien a Social Security number, right? Which makes it far more easier to get a driver's license and to be registered in that state's voter registration file as well. So in some respects, obviously, this makes it a lot easier to vote. And in many states, it's illegal for an illegal alien to vote in certainly a local election. And then we know it's against federal law to vote in a federal election as well. But what you're doing here is you're facilitating that and you're making it easier for those illegal aliens to do just that.
Yeah, that's really why I brought that question up. I mean, here we are entering at just 80 days or whatever we are from an election. And here we're going to at least have a policy to legalize some 15 million people who are here illegally, including criminals, give them Social Security numbers, making it much easier for them to register to vote. And boom. I mean, all of this, Chad, just seems so. Well, it is. It's just wrong. It is not the way things ought to be at all. So where's all this going to go?
I think it's interesting, right? Because they unveil this platform that has all this in there. We're still in the middle of a very dire situation along that border and a crisis. And there's very little, almost nothing in this platform that actually addresses the crisis, that actually addresses this, you know, hundreds of thousands and millions of individuals coming into the country that are being released into the country. You would think that there would be some strong enforcement measures that she would be for that, but it actually doesn't. It doesn't appear that way because there's not much there in way of enforcement.
So instead, I mean, as we talked about earlier in the program, they just deflect and blame Republicans. Yep. In this case, I know there's an attempt to blame President Trump for killing the Senate's comprehensive border security bill, which was horrible. But again, they point the direction that he was the problem.
Well, they do that. Look, that Senate bill, as you indicated, was not good. It had bipartisan opposition. Both Republicans and Democrats alike were against that bill. So I think that's important, right? Don't let the press and any others tell you it was only President Trump killed it. I took a look at it. It was not workable. Other members of Congress took a look at it and bipartisan opposition to that bill. But I can tell you what, again, the vice president has been against is H.R. 2, which is a very strong border security bill. And what she is for, evidently, because they just put it out this week, is this radical bill that does all these different things that allow more and more individuals to come in, easier to come into the country, and makes it more difficult to remove them. And I just think that unreal. Is the wrong policy approach for these
Absolutely.
Times.
Absolutely. Chad Wolf from the America First Policy Institute. Wow, what an honor to have you. Thank you for coming on. Thanks for the incredible work you have done and you continue to do on this front. God bless you. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Thank you.
All right, friends, after the break, we're going to take a deeper look at last night's Democratic National Convention. So much more coming your way. Stay tuned.
The news reflects the world we live in, but it also shapes it. Like it or not, what we learn about the world on a daily basis impacts our thinking, our worldview, and ultimately our action. So much of today's media is built on a shaky foundation that can send us hurling toward harmful ideas and hopeless solutions. Family Research Council created the Washington Stand to be a news outlet that speaks from a firm foundation, bringing you news, commentary, and analysis of what's happening in America and around the world. The Washington Stand is unapologetically biblical and uncompromisingly committed to truth. Equip yourself for the world we live in with a biblical worldview found daily at the Washington Stand. Find us at WashingtonStand.com. That's WashingtonStand.com.
America was a bright light until the culture gave into darkness. But we won't. We're in a battle for the soul of our nation, between right and wrong, between truth and lies. At a time when the mainstream media is blocking Americans from truth, millions are searching for a source of trustworthy news that shines a light in the darkness. At this time of great need, FRC is lighting the way forward. For 40 years, Family Research Council and its partners have stood together to advance and defend biblical truth in government and culture. Between our flagship broadcast program, Washington Watch, with Tony Perkins, to our news outlet, The Washington Stand, FRC is providing believers across the country with news they can trust from a biblical worldview. When you stand with FRC, you help light the way forward for America and the next generation. Go to frc.org/give.
If you're a young adult passionate about seeing biblical values championed in our country, check out Family Research Council's internship program. This three-month program is both a discipleship and development opportunity where you get to take part in truly meaningful work and help advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and our culture. Featuring hands-on experience, biblical worldview training, free housing, and more, this internship is a great opportunity for spiritual and professional development. Check out frc.org/internships to apply today.
As a congressman, Jody Heiss witnessed firsthand how the gradual erosion of congressional integrity has crippled America's faith in its most essential institutions. His newly released book, Sacred Trust, Election Integrity, and the Will of the People, sounds the alarm on the attempts of career bureaucrats to subvert our elections and provide solutions to make every vote count. Help preserve election integrity and order Sacred Trust today wherever books are sold.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Jody Heiss. Thank you for being with us this evening. And just a real quick reminder, again, I mentioned it earlier in the program, but our Pray, Vote, Stand Summit is coming up October 3rd through the 6th in Washington, D.C. We would love to see you there, and I'm just telling you, you will be amazed. You will leave having been rocked to the core and encouraged to the core and ready to take a stand like never before. I encourage you to find out more. Go to PrayVoteStand.org to get more information and to register. Okay, the Biden administration, well, let me rephrase this, go a different direction. Biden last night in his speech, in his little shouty voice, by the way, is has come to be kind of standard these days. But at the Democrat National Convention, he made the Harris campaign strategy crystal clear. All right, the Democrats are not running on the record of the Biden administration of the last 4 years. Neither have the Democrats articulated a vision for the country, for our future. Instead, they are running on the planks of abortion, the LGBTQ agenda. They're running on not being Donald Trump. It's amazing the lack of substance and vision. Joining me now to discuss this is Ken Blackwell. Nobody knows this stuff better than Ken. He's a senior fellow for human rights and constitutional government at the Family Research Council, as well as FRC Action's special advisor for election integrity, someone I lean upon heavily. Ken, welcome back to Washington Watch. Always great to have you, my friend.
Jody, good to be with you.
All right, let me start with this. I got this information actually this morning in a meeting that I was a part of. But as you well know, the Democrats formally adopted their platform last night. But in the platform, their platform mentions President Donald Trump 147 times. They only mention inflation 3 times and the border only 8 times. What does this tell you about their priorities?
You know, it's hard for them to articulate what they're for, because when they do that, they alienate the vast majority of Americans. What I couldn't believe last night as I watched it was two people who had, in fact, made proud of the that they were attached at the hip. They were two peas in a pod. They were hand in glove and running this country, leading this country. All of a sudden, what you began to see was that they brought Joe Biden on almost close to the midnight hour, when a lot of folks had gone to bed and would not, in fact, see his performance. And so one of the things that we have to do is to say, this is a race about what we're for, what Trump is for, and what they're for. And when we do that, the contrast is stark and the choice for Americans becomes easy. They know that they can't win with their platform, which is nothing more than a collection of collectionist ideas and proposals. It flies in the face of our tradition as a country that understands the primacy of the individual and the centrality of God in the life of our nation. And we protect innocent life.
Extremely well said. So when you stay up and you watch President Biden, I was really amazed that he was able to stay up through the speech. You know, it was, I know it had to be a struggle for him. But what did you take away from President Biden's late night speech last night?
Well, first, I thought it was senior abuse, and they should be ashamed of themselves. Secondly, one of the things that he tried to do was to articulate, and this was a speech that was shaped mostly by his speechwriters, and they tried to basically say that, you know, this speech was about moving America forward, but it was talking about moving America forward on the wrong track. That's what I took away from the speech, and they were just lucky that they were clever enough to put him on, like I said, close to the midnight hour, where most folks can't hear it, and nobody's going to read their platform, so they specialize in greenlighting the public and trying to make them believe that they are something or about something that they're not. They would make Walt Disney jealous.
Wow. Yeah, I brought this up earlier on the program, and like your reaction, it seems to me like the Democrats are acting as though, and you're right. I mean, we have President Biden and Kamala, they've for years now, they've done everything together. This has all been their vision. They're moving America. And now there's an obvious attempt to distance Kamala from President Biden. But it's even worse than that. It's almost as though they are acting like they don't even have an incumbent president. It's like they're saying, what we're going to do on day one, vote for us. We're going to start brand new. Do you feel that way? I mean, it just seemed to me like they're acting like they're not even in the incumbent driving seat, so to speak.
Jody, as I've told you before, I've crisscrossed this globe. I've been in about 64 to 67 countries. Let me tell you what this is. This was a collectivist agenda that would make the Politburo of the former Soviet Union proud. You nailed it. Biden is not, and Harris are not running this show. It's a collectivist cabal that, in fact, has a game plan to put us on a track of collectivism, socialism. The Marxist stain is obvious. And what I think that we have to do is to call them out on this. You know, these folks are not pro-family. They're not pro-protection of innocent life. They have a very radical game plan that they, in fact, have been putting in place. And I tell you, one of the things that really concerned me was buried within that platform was their continuous attack on the Supreme Court. They want to fundamentally transform our country from a constitutional republic to a country that is run by the administrative state that they think they have control of.
Well, yeah, let's come back to that in a moment, because I agree with you. That is an extremely major issue that cannot afford to be swept under the carpet. The American people need to understand what you just said about the Supreme Court. But there's no doubt that, yet again, a running theme, if you will, by so many of the speakers is the whole absolute support for abortion on demand through all 9 months of pregnancy. And I think largely they're doing this because they have nothing else to run on. But when Hillary Clinton spoke last night, she made it clear that abortion is a federal issue. In fact, let me just play clip one. Let me get this clip.
She will be a fighter for us. She will fight to lower costs for hardworking families, open the doors wide for good-paying jobs, and yes, she will restore abortion rights nationwide.
All right, Ken, let me ask you this, because here's what this says to me. The Democrats are making it abundantly clear that they see abortion as a federal issue. On the flip side, though, they attack any Republican who believes that life is a federal issue. Am I right on that?
You're absolutely right. And while we, in fact, work to make sure that we protected our constitutional republic and its structure where states could actually deal with these items, there's nothing wrong or inconsistent with us having something in the Constitution that says at the heart of this nation, because we are a nation that protects innocent life and we believe in the centrality of God and the life of the nation, that we, in fact, have as part of our foundational document a statement that respects innocent life and guides the states as they, in fact, start to craft their individual approach. There's nothing inconsistent with that.
Absolutely. And, you know, I just want to underscore this, because so I've heard it over and over, I know you have as well, that Republicans are saying that the battle for life is now a state issue. Kick it back to the states, let the states deal with it. That is exactly the narratives the Democrats want Republicans to have, because they are making it clear that they see it as a federal issue. They are going to cram this thing down the throats of the American people. Absolute abortion, all 9 months of pregnancy on the federal level, while Republicans are going to be not twiddling their thumbs, but focusing their attention on this battle on the state level rather than on the federal level. When the Democrats succeed at that, all their federal laws will override all the work that's being done on the state level.
Absolutely. And we can't, those of us who believe what you just said, we can't retreat to the sidelines. We have to speak into this election and into this process and civil society debate. It is so important that we engage. I'll tell you, one of the things that I think was a blessing is that there's been a snapback from what was drifting towards a Trump runaway to now a very competitive race. And the Trump team, the Republicans, the NRC cannot stiff arm or turn their back or deaf ear to our voices as champions for life, because it now every legal vote counts, and they can't afford to disillusion people to the point that they stay home.
Excellent point. Excellent point. All right, let's go back to the Supreme Court issue real quickly. Describe your concern and what you heard last night that raised red flags for you.
Well, very into their platform, what they basically are saying is, and just look at their behavior, is that something is criminal and sinister about this Supreme Court. And the only way that they can, in fact, bring about what they consider to be a court that's reflective of their interests is by restructuring the Supreme Court. They are sore losers, and they are fundamentally absent-minded when it comes to understanding the foundational issues of our constitutional republic. This is going to be, figuratively speaking, a bare-knuckle brawl. We can't afford for anybody to stay home or on the sideline. We and to make sure that doesn't happen, we cannot afford to have our leadership abandon the issues and the intensity of support for those issues that got us to a point where we're in striking distance in the Senate. We, in fact, have a majority in the House, and I think that we can win the presidency. We can win the trifecta, and if we win the trifecta, we can put this country back on the right track where we are a growing economy, folks are working, we respect the centrality of God in the life of this nation, and we protect innocent life.
That says it all right there, Ken. And you and I have both heard Tony Perkins say this over and over and over and over. Pray, vote, stand. This is the time that the political line has been drawn in the sand. The spiritual line has been drawn in the sand. It's time to pray, vote, and stand. Our time's beginning to click down on us. The Democrats also made Project 2025 kind of a boogeyman, if you will. Give me your thoughts on that.
Look, the conservative movement in this country, you know, have centers of activity and thought leadership. And we have all been working on policies and practices that would, in fact, reestablish us as a strong constitutional republic. The Heritage Foundation has been doing their work. There are other organizations that have been doing their work. I think what's more important for our folks to understand is not the threat of the conservative 2025 plan that has come out of conservative think tanks and action tanks, but their 2025 plan, restructure the court, allow the taking of innocent life up to the point of birth. I mean, you know, they are talking about actually putting a stranglehold on industry and business in this country. And as a consequence, they are talking about spending, printing more money, driving up inflation. Their 2025 plan puts us on the track to become Venezuela in 2025.
Wow. While they're flying people from Venezuela here over the border, as Chad Wolf was talking about in the last segment, less than a minute we have. What are you expecting tonight? More of the same?
More of the same. I think tonight you will begin to see just who is running the Democrat machine. And it hasn't changed. They are big government enthusiasts. They've been working now for over a decade to run God and faith out of the public square. They really can't embrace the concept of e pluribus unum, from the many one. And our great danger is that we can't allow them to have Harris as a tabula rasa, where they, absolutely, in fact, can now draw a picture of her that's inconsistent with who she really is.
Thank you so much, Ken Blackwell, FRC Action, and a host of other places where you've got your influence all over the place. Always an honor to see you. Thank you for joining us today on Washington Watch.
Thanks, Jody.
All right, friends, that wraps up another program edition. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Washington Watch.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action. For more information on anything you heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.